Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today, Carl Gallups continues his compelling presentation on the image of Golgotha. Friends, just as David declared to Goliath, we shout back at the forces of evil, the battle is the Lord's. Our current financial struggles is in God's hands, and He'll give us the victory, and He alone will be glorified. Would you sling a rock at the head of this Goliath today? How? Well, just as God worked through David to accomplish a miraculous victory and destroy the mighty giant, would you prayerfully consider what you can give today to sustain Southwest Radio Ministries at this critical moment? This spiritual and financial giant threatens to undo this ministry, but God is greater. Could God have defeated Goliath without David? Well, yes, most certainly. But God often chooses to do amazing work through people who trust God. What eternal impact could you make today by partnering with Southwest Radio Ministries, dear friend? Please join us in prayer, and please stand with us at this critical moment in our ministry's history. Your one-time and monthly recurring gifts will enable us to continue slinging stones at the spiritual forces of evil. Call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144 with your gift today. You can also give on our website, swrc.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Recently, we held our Mysteries of the Bible Verse conference with an outstanding lineup of speakers that covered the topics your Sunday school teacher didn't talk about. Today, we have the privilege of continuing to listen to Carl Gallup's presentation on the image of Golgotha. From the Mysteries of the Bible Verse conference, here is Carl Gallup's.
Zechariah 13 says, "And on that day in Jerusalem a fountain will be opened, and all who come underneath that flood will be forgiven of their sins." Genesis 1:1. You're going to find out tomorrow morning, the first word goes even deeper than everything I'm going to show you here, and I've just begun with this, as far as, not necessarily as time goes, but as far as showing you. But this is amazing. The first verse shows that He's the Lamb slain from the foundation. God did not let Moses write the first verse until he used those words in that order. I don't know that Moses even knew that he was painting a picture of Golgotha. We know it because we're on the other side of it. That's the Tav. That's the way it looked. There it is, blown up again. There's Golgotha. There's Jesus in the middle. It's an exact image of that. The image of Golgotha has become iconic throughout the world ever since it happened. You never see a movie or a book or anything that talks about Golgotha without showing three figures, right? On a hill. Three crosses on a hill, we all know Jesus is in the middle. That same image is in the first verse of the Bible, written thousands of years ago. The same image, right down to having Jesus right there in the middle. I could stop right there, give an invitation, half y'all get saved right now. But I got so much more to show you. You're going to like this. And if you've seen this before, hang on, because I got some new stuff that I threw in here for you. Okay? Now, I've already shown you this. Yud Shin Wah Ayin. Okay? I'm the Aleph, I'm the Omega, Alpha and the Omega, the Aleph and the Tau. Okay? Lamb slain for the foundation. Okay? Now, there is the Israel's Haaretz. Each letter has a meaning to it. Also, Kavod.org, the oldest and largest Orthodox Jewish internet site, says the same thing. Hebrew Today, used by schools, public and private, all over the world, and news sources to teach Hebrew to people. They say the same thing. So I'm not making this up, and you know that by now. There's a mezuzah, and there's the sheen. It's on almost every mezuzah, the prayer box that holds Deuteronomy 6. Shema O Israel, Yahweh, Eloheinu, Yahweh, Akkad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. That sheen right there represents the Almighty God. And the inference is, when you put this prayer box up, and it's a little bit of superstition, but yet it's just saying you're under the covering of God's word and God's name when you put that up. Now, that box doesn't save your life or your house or your business, but they're just acknowledging, this is who I belong to. This is my protection. This is my strength. The Sheen means Almighty God. Everybody got that? All right. Yod Sheen. Wah, I ain. I've already shown you. The Yod, the hand, or the outstretched arms. It can mean that too. Sheen, El Shaddai, Almighty God. The Wah, the nail, the spear, the hook, the fastener. Ayin, to see or to see salvation, which is the name of Yeshua. Yod Sheen. Yeshua is the word in Hebrew for salvation. Isn't that, I mean, what Hebrew would have invented all of that, put that in the Bible? No, they're just using their words and whatever the Holy Spirit inspires them to write, and they do, and now we're on the other side of the crucifixion, and we go, oh my gosh, Psalm 22 makes perfect sense. Isaiah 52, 53 makes perfect sense. The first verse, when we see it in the Paleo-Hebrew in which it was written, look, there's three crosses. Look, Jesus is in the middle. Oh my gosh, how can this be? And I know you could say right now, you could stop and say, well, that's kind of coincidental, but I think it's good. No, just wait. No, it's everywhere you would think it would be if it was an encoded message. It's like the DNA of the Bible. It starts in Genesis 1:1. It goes to Revelation chapter 22, some of the last words, that image right where it's supposed to be. All the way through. That's what Yeshua, that's what Golgotha's groaning is all about. You'll see that. But you'll get everything I'm teaching here. You'll get Yeshua protocol and eyes to see. Okay? Now, we go to Psalm 22. All right. I told you, remember that. There it is. My God, Eloi, Eloi, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? I don't have my glasses on. Oh, I can see it now. And delivering me, helping me, and the words of my groaning. Why are you so far from all of that? That's how it would read in Hebrew. You see, aren't you glad you speak English? Okay. Here's what I want to show you. That's the verse. There are the Hebrew letters in modern Hebrew. Jesus' name is in the first verse, in the middle of a one word. Listen, it's like our word content. If I say content, and I say, are there other whole English words in that word? Yeah, the word con, the word tent, okay, the word tin. Are you following me? But none of those singular words have anything to do with the word content. It's just it contains other English words. There's a Hebrew word that contains other Hebrew word. Yud, Sheen, Wah, Ayin. Yud, Sheen, Wah, Ayin. The verse he cried out, showing them to turn here, has his name in it. My ministry partner, Zev Perat, Messianic Rabbi Zev Perat, he discovered this. I was on the phone with him one day, and we were looking at all this stuff, and he said, oh my goodness, girl, turn to Psalm 22. Look at this. He said, I've never seen this. This is my language. I've never seen this. There's his name right there. I said, where? He says, Yeshua, it's right there. Look at it. Well, you know, his eyes see every little nuance of the Hebrew words. Mine don't yet. And so I said, you're crazy. Well, I'm aware that his name's not there. He said, look at where it says, so far from helping me, forsaking me. I looked and I said, my word, it's there. I've never, the only verse he quoted, his name is in it. Now I want to show you something better than that. There's Genesis 1:1. Look at Psalm 22. Three crosses. Jesus himself, his name is on the middle cross. It's a picture of Golgotha. What's Psalm 22 about? Golgotha. What's the only verse he quoted? Psalm 22:1. What's the picture that's there? Golgotha. Who's in the middle? Jesus by name is on that cross. Anybody got glory bumps yet? Now let's go to the name Yahweh. A lot of you know this, but if you don't, you're going to love this. Yod He Wah He. You can almost hear Yahweh. Modern Jews call it Yahweh because the Wah is pronounced almost like a V now, but in the ancient Hebrew it was pronounced like a W. Wah, Wah, Yahweh. Here's what the meanings of those words are. Now you already know what the Yod is, the hands. You already know what the Wah is, the nails. Now all we need to know is He. And it's easy to remember because it means behold. Now, it doesn't, I mean, it's not done that way. Because see, in English, we would say, hey, hey, look at this. So that's how I remember what it means. Watch this. Behold the hands, behold the nails. You want to know my name? You want to know who I am? I am Yahweh. That name is used 7,000 times in the Bible. It's the most prolific name of God used, and it prophesies of the coming crucifixion, which he will put on flesh. You say, well, you mean Jesus is God? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that Word that was God became flesh and went to the cross for us. Zechariah 12 again. And on that day, you will look upon me whom you have pierced. Well, you will call him an only son, but you're looking at me in the flesh. The Word became flesh. By your word, you brought forth everything. Now, remember that. Now, you get this? The name of God, Yahweh, means behold the hands, behold the nails. The name of Jesus, Yeshua, which is the word for salvation in Hebrew, means the hand and the arms of the Almighty God pierced with nails. The whole world will see. Go to Isaiah 52:10. We've read that. I've already shown you that. But look, there's the word Yahweh, of course. You see it right there. So there's God. Over here is Yeshua. Okay, so far, I mean, because that's, you know, they will see the salvation of God. So Yeshua, Yahweh and Yeshua in the same verse talking about Golgotha. And there's the three crosses with Jesus in the middle with his name. Unbelievable. There's God and he's by an Aleph Tau. I'm the Aleph and the Tau. There's Jesus. He's by the Aleph and the Tau. I'm also the Aleph and the Tau. And I'm also the one in the middle and I'm on a cross. Tell me that's coincidence, but I've tons more, and not necessarily tonight, but I'm just saying, I'm just scratching the surface with y'all here. Look at Isaiah 52:10. Look at Genesis 1:1. Same image, a little more detail. The name of Jesus is there. And by the way, Jesus' name is right there too. He said so. It's also God's name right there. He said so. The first prophecy in the Bible. The first false prophecy came out of Satan's mouth. Did God surely say, you surely will not die? He knows that if you'll eat of this fruit, you can be like him, or you can be like the gods, which means the angelic realm and the fallen ones especially. You can be like us, Satan was saying. Or you can be like God himself, and he knows that. You surely will not die. The first prophecy in the Bible is a false prophecy. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 7 in the Sermon on the Mount? Beware of the false prophets. They are like trees that present themselves as having good fruit, but they do not. He was going all the way back to the Garden of Eden. We're the first generation that doesn't laugh at the book of Revelation. We just say, oh my goodness, we're there. We're living in the most prophetic times since the first coming of Jesus. I will put him into that. Chapter 1, verse 1, you saw the three crosses. Go just a couple chapters over to the Garden of Eden. God pronounces the first prophecy. And there it is. Three crosses, the Aleph Tav in the middle. Now, I'm just going to tell you this. There's no other word on the planet like this. I don't care. I'm not going to disparage other faith groups. That's between them and their conscience, and one day they will stand before the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I'm not, but I'm telling you, the Quran has nothing like what I'm showing you. The teachings of Buddha have nothing like this. The Hindu Vedas has nothing like this. The astrology charts has nothing like this. Nostradamus didn't even come close. I mean, I could go on and on through the prophecies of the returned Israel, through the prophecies of the exponential explosion of technology, through the nations that will attack the returned Israel. It's happening now in our life, in our last 24 hours. Persia is mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and the other nations with them. And all of those nations we've got, you can go on the internet and check them out, see who they are and say, do these guys have anything to do with Persia and or Hamas or Hezbollah? Because that's the proxy, and every one of them do, that are named in Ezekiel 38. And we're watching it all happen. We may not be in that day that Ezekiel 38 testifies of, but we're in the edges of it. It's the beginnings of it. There's no way we can deny that because all the nations named are involved, and they're attacking Israel again tonight after we obliterated their commander-in-chief, the commander of their air force, their biggest nuclear sites, and they're still striking. They're looking to start World War III. There's no other word on the planet that has these encoded pictures. It's like God saying, I'm going to put it in the plain text. By the way, you don't need to know all of this to be saved or to serve Jesus with your life. You don't need to know any of this that I showed you. But for those of us that claim we are saved, or some of you are saying, man, I need to get saved. I mean, for us, it's like it just invigorates you and it fills the word with even more power. And now we know, since there's no other word that has anything like this, there's no other word that dared to prophesy 50 times that Israel would return in the last days. Nowhere, nowhere. I heard somebody say one time, well, the Book of Mormon talks about it. Yeah, they copied the King James. Well, the Quran talks about it. They copied a lot of the Christian writings. Go read on Muhammad. You can see they copied a lot of biblical scripture. So if they have allusions to some of the same things, it's because they copied it hundreds of years, thousands of years after it. No, there's no other, none, nowhere, anywhere from any religion. Only God knows these things. His thoughts are like the grains of sand. Satan's smarter than us, but he ain't God. There's no other word, no other word. A lot of this is in eyes to see. They sell it here. Yeshua protocol, they've got it here. They probably most likely have Golgotha's groanings unless they hate what I did here and they fire me and don't want to sell any more of my books. But anyway, the bottom line is, fix your eyes on Jesus, we win. Hebrews 12, fix your eyes on Jesus. It's all about him from the first verse. It's all about Golgotha. And these same images go all the way through. When the Greek is translated into Hebrew, can you imagine how impossible that is? Come on up, brother, I'm finished. Can you imagine how impossible that is? Greek, one of the hardest languages in the world. The whole New Testament is written in it. Then you come along with scholars that know Hebrew. They translate it into Hebrew. The translation I used in this book coming up was the one that's used in seminaries and colleges all over the world and has been for 150 years. The Delitzsch translation, Hebrew translation of the New Testament. And I got to looking, as I looked in Hebrew, I went to all the scriptures that spoke anything about Golgotha. And somewhere, not every verse, but in that whole narrative, there's an image or two just like that in every single one of them, all the way through to the last chapter of Revelation, starting in Genesis 1:1. That's why Zev looked at it. He said, this is absolutely humanly impossible. It cannot be except that God has done this. It's like his watermark. It's like his DNA. It's like the DNA of the Bible. Now, just in case, and I'm not judging you, but by what I've shown you tonight, just in case you say, I still think it's just kind of coincidence, come tomorrow morning. I'm going to take the first word. I'm going to take the first word of the first, I'll take the first letter and then the first word and show you something that will knock your socks off. And it's in the same verse that Genesis 1:1, of course, and it has the same message of those three crosses, but now it's written out in a lengthy discourse. And then when I show you where it's found in the Bible, it will blow you away. And then you will know this is not a coincidence. This is the, watch, thumbprint of God on his word. And it's being given, watch this, only in our day is it being discovered. We're getting close, guys. And what he's doing, he is building up his word and giving us the ammunition to first of all, just to ingest it and to walk in it. The whole word of God from the first verse to the last verse is about Jesus Christ and him crucified. He won. He crushed Satan's head and Satan knows it. We're on the winning side. Oh, I know. He said, well, why is it so bad? Say it with me. We're living in Satan's world. Say it out loud. We're living in Satan's world. If you can keep telling yourself that, then every bad thing that seems to come your way and everything, and you're living for the Lord, say, why me, why me? We're living in Satan's world. Jesus has promised, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to fix it. There'll be no more pain, no more crying, no more death, no more mourning. All things will be made new for those that are under the blood of Golgotha's middle cross. Y'all give the Lord Jesus a hand of praise. Give the Lord Jesus and His Word a hand of praise.
Today's presentation was originally given at this year's Mysteries of the Bible Verse Conference. All of the presentations from the two-day event are now available on a special 6-DVD set. Topics as varied as UFOs, aliens, hidden messages, giants in Scripture, and secret societies are there. The topics are sensational but grounded in Scripture. Prepare to have your mind blown and your faith encouraged. Order the 2025 Mysteries of the Bible Verse DVD set today. Call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order on the website swrc.com. The Mysteries of the Bible Verse 6 DVD set features presentations by the full lineup of speakers, including Derek Gilbert, Sharon Gilbert, Micah Van Hus, Carl Gallups, Michael Hoggard, and Mac Dominic. Order today, 1-800-652-1144. From financial struggles to new ministry opportunities for outreach, there's so much happening here at Southwest Radio Ministries. With all the details, here's Ministry President Dr. Kenneth Hill and Staff Evangelist Josh Davis.
Friends, we're back with another ministry update, and I'm privileged to be joined in the studio by our Ministry President Dr. Kenneth Hill. And we just wanted to bring you an update on what God is doing here at the ministry and just to offer you a word of encouragement from the Lord. Thank you so much for being with us. Dr. Hill, it's wonderful to be with you.
Well, it's wonderful to be with you too, Josh. It is an important time when we can gather together around God's Word and we can fellowship together as well as enjoy the communion of the Word of God together. God is still on the throne and prayer changes things, and that helps us to always know that God is in control. He has not closed His eyes and taken a nap.
Right, yes.
He doesn't do that. We're so thankful that He doesn't. I have, unfortunately, been at home when the television was being changed from one channel to another. You see the different modes of information that are being given, and most of them are just sort of sickly.
Yes.
The information they put out really don't matter to me.
Mm.
And they probably don't even mean anything for me. But what is important is to know that Jesus Christ is our King, and He's not to be forgotten. No matter what it is that we do to gather our thoughts, we should make sure they're gathered around Jesus Christ, because if they're not, we're going to be thinking foolish thoughts.
Yes, absolutely.
And we're not going to be thinking the correct thoughts at all. So how are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, doing well, and God is blessing. You know, as you were saying that, a couple of verses came to my mind, Dr. Hill. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2 tells us, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He's the Creator King of the universe. He's the one who designed all things that we see, and He's the one who sustains all things that we see around us in creation, not just here on planet Earth, but all throughout the universe. And we see His power and His majesty on display. The psalmist just begins by saying, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. That's a conscious choice that the psalmist is making, that I am going to keep my eyes fixed on the Lord. And Dr. Hill, we've been very plain with our friends about the challenges SWRC has faced, and we continue to express the needs for prayers and for financial assistance as we're still coming up out of the difficult summer months that we've experienced, and we praise God for what He's doing. But this verse challenges us to make that conscious choice to lift up our eyes unto the hills. Our help doesn't come from people. Our reliance isn't on other people primarily. Our reliance is primarily upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's true for us individually. That's true for SWRC as a ministry. That's true for the United States of America or any nation. We need to keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ because that's where our help comes from. Our help comes from the Lord. Dr. Hill, we're just continuing to keep our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ as we're walking through this season that He has appointed for us.
It's extremely important for us as we consider what God is doing for us and through us, as well as to us. It's important for us to be surrounded by godly people and to have our thoughts held captive by Almighty God. When God holds our thoughts captive, we think our thoughts after Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do that, then we are capable of thinking our thoughts after Christ's thoughts. And it's a wonderful time as we see God work in our lives. And I pray that you will have your thoughts taken after Christ's own thoughts. And then we get to see the good things happen.
Amen. Well, Dr. Hill, it's been wonderful to be with you again today. And dear friends, thank you so much for continuing to pray for SWRC.
Friends, Southwest Radio Ministries needs your prayers and financial partnership right now. The need is urgent. Your support is critical to sustaining Southwest Radio Ministries through some of the lowest months we've experienced in years. We've trimmed our budget, reduced expenses, delayed our monthly mailings, and cut radio stations. Any further cuts will significantly reduce the ministry that we carry out every day. That's why we're coming to you right now. You've partnered with us in prayer and ministry in the past, and we need our faithful friends to stand with us right now. Please, give today. Call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can give your gift as well at our website, swrc.com. Friend, we need to hear from you today. 1-800-652-1144 or swrc.com. Watchman on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. To learn more, visit swrc.com.